This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. On today's program, the Grain Growers of Canada held a news conference recently to launch its Path to 2050 Climate Initiative. The month of March was a bit cooler than normal. I spoke with Natalie Hazel with Environment Canada about the weather stats for last month. And a two-part feature we'll have on the Western Dairy Expo that's happening this week in Saskatoon. The farm weather with Phil Spivak is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. Coming up first on Sask Ag Today is the Grain Growers of Canada launching their Path to 2050 Climate Initiative.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. And Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. Grain farmers and many of their representatives were in Ottawa this week to meet with parliamentarians. During that time, the Grain Growers of Canada held a news conference to launch its climate initiative aimed at helping Canada meet its goal of achieving net zero emissions by the year 2050. Vice Chair William Van Tassel outlined the plan and some of its recommendations.
To address this, we are calling for an increase in both public and private sector funding for agriculture research. This includes expanding plant breeding research, which is crucial for developing plants that can withstand the challenges posed by climate change, such as, and as we have recently witnessed, droughts, heat waves, and floods. For example, every dollar invested in wheat breeding research returns $33 to our wheat farmers and to the national economy. This is the kind of impactful investment that we need to see much more of. We must also acknowledge the existence of programs that, if leveraged effectively, will have profound impacts on sustainability within the agriculture sector. The on-farm Climate Action Fund, for example, has been embraced by thousands of grain farmers across Canada, underscoring its value and necessity within our community. However, to unlock the full potential of these programs and extend their benefits to more producers, we must broaden eligibility criteria and respond to our farmers' needs by increasing funding. We stand before you, representing the collective voice of 65,000 cereal, oil seed, and pulse producers across Canada. Today, our message is clear. Canadian grain farmers are ready to partner with government to both reduce emissions and boost production, answering the rising domestic international demand for Canadian grain. By working together, we can grow Canada's economy while also addressing climate change.
That's William Van Tassel, the Vice Chair of the Grain Growers of Canada, during a news conference this week in Ottawa. Up next on Sask Ag Today, I spoke with Natalie Hazel of Environment Canada over the March weather statistics that Environment Canada releases at the beginning of each month. Each month kind of has its own theme. I know February, for example, it was a bit warmer and drier than normal, but for March, it was a bit of the opposite. Find out how right after the break.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance, proudly serving farmers. See municipalhail.ca. While February was warm and drier than normal, March was sort of the opposite. Environment Canada meteorologist Natalie Hazel had the weather stats for last month and summarized March as being a little colder than normal.
No, we're not talking about record-breaking or particularly remarkable. Most places were colder than normal by maybe 2, maybe 4 degrees Celsius, looking at the mean over the month. So that's daytime and nighttime temperatures averaged for the day, and then that averaged over the month. So yes, the one remarkable thing perhaps is that March was cooler than normal. We haven't had that much in the last while. And for the places where we keep these statistics, that was everywhere in Saskatchewan.
Saskatoon and Yorkton had the biggest temperature swings at minus 3.8 degrees compared to their monthly averages. Not far behind is North Battleford and Moose Jaw with a difference of minus 3.7 degrees. The rest of Environment Canada's weather stations recorded temperature differences from minus 2 degrees in Meadow Lake down to minus 2.7 in Estevan. Hazel noted some warmer days were observed in the middle of March.
We did have a period of time around, starting around the 11th or so, going to more or less the 19th, where temperatures were above normal and above zero. So there was some variability still in the month of March. But yeah, other oscillations took precedence, or perhaps El Nino already weakening maybe atmospherically didn't transfer quite as well to what was happening here. So we ended up with a jet stream not in the place where we would expect it to be forced to by El Nino for a period of time this March. But the jet stream was in a totally different location, allowing cold air into the southern prairies and southern Saskatchewan.
For precipitation, Hazel says most stations reported less than normal averages, especially in Key Lake, where it recorded the third driest March with only 5.7 millimeters, well below the normal of 21.1 millimeters. Yorkton, however, was the outlier.
We have Yorkton, which got 33.6 mils of liquid equivalent. So some of that was snow, some of that was rain. The normal for March at Yorkton is 20 mils. So Yorkton was actually wet, 168% of what they normally get, bringing them to the 17th wettest over 85 years of data. So quite the variability depending on where you are in the province. Most places were dry. Meadow Lake was closer to normal, though, at 108%, making it the 29th wettest.
A pair of weather systems, March 2nd and 3rd, brought heavy snow to the west central region of the province, and another system that affected southern Alberta brought much-needed precipitation to the southwest. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. Up next is Ag Review with Doug Falconer, followed by Precision Weather with Phil Spivak.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange, ready to market your 2023 crop. Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
While the start of this week saw canola futures on the Intercontinental Exchange trade in a very narrow range, broker Jamie Wilton of R.J. O'Brien in Winnipeg says that could soon change. Wilton says canola will take direction from the next monthly report from the United States Department of Agriculture. The World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates were scheduled to be published today. As to which direction canola would take, Wilton says it depends on what the report says. The April report is largely expected to be stand pat, as the USDA will use acreage estimates from earlier this year. The latest forecasts for planted acres are set to be included in the May WASD. Dairy farmers in the United States are raising their defenses to try to contain the spread of bird flu. Banning visitors, cutting down trees to discourage wild birds from landing, and disinfecting vehicles coming onto their land. North Carolina on Wednesday became the seventh state to report an outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza in a dairy herd after the U.S. Department of Agriculture confirmed infections in Texas, Kansas, Ohio, Michigan, Idaho, and New Mexico. While the first cases appear to have been introduced to herds in Texas and Kansas by wild birds, the USDA says transmission among cattle was also possible. Agricultural officials in Michigan and Ohio said infected herds in those states received cattle from Texas. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is canceling its July cattle inventory report, as well as county-level estimates for crops and livestock, citing budget constraints. While the USDA will still release a cattle inventory report each January, the July update has been of particular interest to traders in recent years, as the U.S. beef cattle herd shrank to its smallest size in decades due to drought. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association, a trade group representing cattle producers, called on the USDA to reverse its decision. The USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service also announced it was discontinuing its objective yield survey for cotton, as well as all county estimates for crops and livestock, beginning with the 2024 production year. A U.S. government weather forecaster expects about a 60% chance of the La Nina weather pattern characterized by unusually cool temperatures in the Pacific Ocean emerging in the second half of 2024. There's an 85% chance that a transition from El Nino to ENSO neutral is likely to occur by April to June. It says the end of El Nino would take away the vertical wind shear that tends to reduce the number of storms in the Atlantic basin. Further, warm ocean temperatures should facilitate the formation of stronger storms. India is expected to see a normal monsoon in 2024, promising some respite after a prediction of more than normal heat wave days in the summer preceding the June to September rainy season. Meanwhile, Japan's Weather Bureau said on Monday there was an 8% chance of the El Nino phenomenon ending during the Northern Hemisphere spring. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary. Or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, the forecast is looking pretty good. Mostly sunny sky, high of 11 degrees, and might get some cloud here later in the week as well from what I see.
Yeah, the cloud cover is going to really be taking over. It's not going to produce any showers. We're still dealing with some pretty dry air. In fact, very dry. Not so much on this side of the border, but on the other side where it is a little warmer, a little drier. Fire danger is elevated. It is not low here, but the humidity is still just in that low to moderate range each afternoon, so that keeps us out of much concern. The wind has dropped off too. It's not as gusty for the afternoon, still in the 50 to 25 range most of the time, but overall nice day with the sunshine. As mentioned, 11 degrees is the high. We'll be down to minus one tonight with just a few clouds, or the clouds will increase later on, and tomorrow it's in place. It's a pretty gray sky. I'm not saying we won't see any sun, but clouds will certainly win out. 17 behind, the wind picks up too, south to southeast, 20 to 35, could be a few higher gusts as well. That will settle down Friday night. We'll hold just on the plus side, and for Saturday, partly sunny, warmer, we'll be at 19. We'll be right there Sunday too, maybe back off a little bit with some extra cloudiness. We'll say 16, but easily a little sun, a little more sun through the day, and we'll hold them at milder temperatures. The chance of a shower late Sunday and Sunday evening is 20%. The chance of a shower Monday is 30%. Watching the trends, let's say we might squeeze out a few more degrees on Monday, 18 the high. There is some cooler air, though, that will drop in likely Tuesday through Thursday. Temperatures take a sharp drop. We'll be back into single numbers for most of those days.
Thank you very much, Phil. The normal highs for this time of year, 11 degrees. The lows, minus 3. The sun rose in Regina at 6:11 this morning, and the sun will set at around 7:48 tonight. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia, Estevan and Swift Current, 9 degrees. Mooseman, Saskatoon, Yorkton and Melville, 7. And Weyburn is at 8 degrees. The warm spot in the province is in Maple Creek at 11.5 degrees. Cold spot in Uranium City at minus 2.1. In Regina, it's mostly cloudy. North-northwest wind at 21 to 33 kilometers an hour. Humidity at 46%. Temperature 8 degrees or 46 Fahrenheit. and the barometric pressure is at 102.2 and rising. In Moose Jaw, mainly sunny, northwest wind between 21 and 31 kilometers an hour, the temperature at 9 degrees. Again in Regina, mostly cloudy, northwest wind rather at 21 to 33, temperature 8 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com. After a 10-year absence, the Western Dairy Expo has returned to Saskatoon. The event begins today at the Prairieland Ag Center in the Bridge City. Bryce Fisher, who is on the Western Dairy Expo organizing committee, owns a dairy farm in the Cudworth area, about an hour northeast of Saskatoon. He says the very first show started back in 1982.
And it was at the old Saskatoon Auction Mart. And then in 83, the committee wanted to grow it, and they moved it to Prairieland Park in 83. And it ran continuously till about, I think, 2014. I was out of showing cows for a few years, and that's when I wasn't around. So I don't know what happened, but it just lost some momentum and all the rest of it. I myself started showing cows again here a few years ago. We're very active in the show industry. People were going to a show in BC, but because it was in BC, it was really limited to who could go. You know, Saskatchewan is really central in Western Canada for a show. If you want Alberta and Manitoba exhibitors, we are central. Then the BC Spring Show got canceled this year. So at the last minute, when we found that out, we thought, well, let's try to get it going here again. I took the lead on it, and we put a committee together, and last minute, and we found a week at Prairieland that worked, and we started getting sponsors, and once we kind of knew we had enough to pay the rent, we announced we were going to have a show. So we want to build it back. Years ago, I was on the committee, and it was the biggest show in Western Canada. You know, hopefully we got a solid footing. Sponsors have been great. We're doing things a little different here. We're not paying prize money at this show. We're doing meals, you know, so everybody benefits. Costs to take a crew to the restaurant is a big bill. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all the meals will be covered for all the exhibitors, commercial and cattle exhibitors.
He says entries into the show have been really good.
So the furthest west is Chilliwack, B.C. Coyman's West Coast Holsteins have come from Chilliwack to support us. They're the ones that kind of ran the show in B.C. And we went out there and they felt they needed to come back here. There's a herd from the Okanagan, then a bunch of herds out of Alberta, several herds out of Manitoba, and then really, really strong support out of Saskatchewan.
He explains the differences between the Dairy Expo and other cattle shows in the province.
I don't know how to put it in words. There's a lead up to the show. Yes, we need a lot of young people. And that's probably the biggest thing I noticed after being out for a number of years is just a resurgence of young people wanting to show and wanting to participate and having a strong work ethic and values. Maybe it's just generational, the way ages work and that. And you watch tomorrow when the junior show is on, we'll have 15, 20 kids in the peewee class, right? And that's the start, you know, that's the footing. And then the junior show will be a good size. Them kids, you know, the good ones that are aggressive want to go on and work with good herds and good cows and go on to other shows, eh?
Bryce Fisher is on the Western Dairy Expo Organizing Committee. We'll have more with Bryce right after the break. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. We're back with Bryce Fisher, a member of the Western Dairy Expo Organizing Committee. The show is back after a 10-year absence. And Fisher was asked if modern dairy farms are multi-generational operations.
Dairy has got larger. There are a few corporate farms, but the majority still are family farms. They're just larger family farms. There might be three families, you know, trying to make a living out of it too, right? So when you divide it by, you know, three, they're just good average size farms combined, right? And then that's kind of the way of today's world efficiencies, right?
You have some cattle here too. How many? Tell us about them.
We have about 20 head in our string. It's quite a bit, but I'm close. I'm only 40 minutes away. We're pretty excited. Some new cows, a bunch of fresh cows, the cows that calved out again, some cows that did great at the big shows. The biggest show in the world is World Dairy Expo in Madison, and the second is the Royal Winter Fair. So we got a couple in our string that we're kind of in the right in the top or first there. And I'm not the only one. There's, you know, lots of other farms with high-quality cattle here. So it is a world-class event. And today, later today, there's several Americans coming up and several people out of Eastern Canada and that coming to see what's here to buy or look at.
Okay, so when does the sales aspect take place? And do a lot of the discussions take place in the barns as well?
Yeah, we don't have a sale per se. Now, we did for years, but we don't have a sale per se anymore, but there will be some cattle traded this week. I've priced a couple. There will be some cows trade hands, no doubt about it.
Without getting into numbers specifically, a value of a good dairy cow, is a good dairy cow worth a lot of money?
You know, this is the show world. It's distorted badly. You know, a good dairy cow to milk at home is $2,500, $3,000. There's cows here, $100,000, but, you know, then it's a bigger picture. They're going to go on and win at the big shows, or they got a genetic package that they can market and sell embryos worldwide through in vitro or embryo transplant, and they're sought after. There's genetics that are sought after.
Yeah. You've been in the business a long time. How has the quality of cows improved in the dairy business?
It's improved substantially. Sometimes you gain and realize you lose a little and you got to turn around and reevaluate. You know, udder quality has come a long way. Production has come up. Our genetic gains have enhanced what we do. New things nowadays are A2 milk, so we realize we can breed for that.
If anybody's listening to this and has a bit of time, can they just drop by and take a look at the show?
We would really appreciate, you know, the more participation we have. It's a welcoming environment. Come down, ask questions. We're all available. We'll answer any questions. We got commercial exhibitors here, and we have, you know, a lot of knowledgeable young people in the industry from all over. If you got questions, please feel free to come down and join us and ask questions.
Bryce Fisher owns a dairy farm in the Cudworth area and is a member of the Western Dairy Expo Organizing Committee. The Western Dairy Expo runs today through Saturday at the Prairieland Ag Center in Saskatoon. Up next is the market update, and looking at some of the grain prices at Viterra, they're down for the most part. I'll tell you which ones they are right after the break.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Market update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. Looking for the perfect vehicle? They'll find a match that exactly fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. So as mentioned before the break, grain prices at Viterra were down in early trading today. Here's what those commodities are making the movement. Canola down $9.50 to $5.96.72. And number one red spring wheat is down $1.96 at $305 a metric ton. The rest of the commodities were unchanged. Durum $387.37, feed barley $232.58, chickpeas $992.08, flax $629.54, lentils $732.50, oats $255.32, yellow peas $474.72, and feed wheat $233.45. Finally, on the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is down 3.5 cents to $6.48 a bushel. Coming up next is the Livestock Report. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan 620 CKRM.
The Sask Ag Today Livestock Reports on your Voice of Saskatchewan 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
Good afternoon, folks. Here's your HLS Yorkton Market Report for the week ending April 12th. We ran 1,772 head across the scale in our pre-sort and another 427 in the slaughter sale, giving us a total of 2,199 for the day. We had a good selection of cattle this week, and the top-cut cattle were definitely in higher demand. The market was up on most classes. Here are some highlights. On the steer trade, 418-pound black steers, 489, 503-pound red exotic steers, 477, 565-pound red Angus steers, 445 and a quarter, 646-pound black steers, 408.75, 720-pound tan steers, 375.75, 864-pound exotic steers, 339.50, 926-pound tan steers, 308.50, 1,014-pound exotic steers. They weigh or come in at 297. On the heifer trade, 420-pound black heifers at 404, 506-pound red exotic heifers at 380, 560-pound tan heifers, 370.5, 637-pound red Angus heifers, 345.5, 705-pound black heifers, 329, 869-pound exotic heifers, 298, and 950-pound tan heifers at 278. On the cow and bull trade, we sold on a higher demand this week. D1, D2 cows, 160 to 180, sales to 188.5, D3 cows, 140 to 155, thin, shelly, older, blemished cows, 80 cents to $1.20. Our cows averaged 159.30. Big, hard bulls, 170 to 190, sales to 208 and a quarter, with medium bulls of 160 to 170. Our bulls averaged 180, 115. Pre-sort sale next week starting to fill up, so please remember to book your cattle in. We will not turn you away, we just need to know in order to prepare the buyers. Also, as some of you have heard, Harvey will be away for some time. Please direct your calls to the office, Junior, or myself so we can let Harvey rest. Our wishes are with him, Faye, and his family on a great recovery. Also, reminder, we will no longer be holding sheep or goat sales. Our sister market in Verdon is now holding monthly sales, so please contact them or Brennan and his team if you are looking to market your sheep and goats. This has been Carter with your HLS Yorkton Market Report. Have a great day, and thank you for being a part of our industry.
Now here are the latest pork prices for the Brandon and Moose Jaw plants. They're up $2.79 to $215.96 per CKG. Coming up next to wrap up the show is the Resource Report. Once again, you're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
An online poll for CIBC finds 76% of Canadians who don't own a property think the housing market is out of reach due to two main factors. 70% cite overpriced markets, and 63% cite trouble saving for a down payment. 55% of non-property owners say they'll only be able to afford to buy a home if they inherit money or get help from their family. The poll also finds current homeowners are also cutting back on everyday expenses as they deal with higher interest rates. The European Central Bank is leaving its key interest rate benchmark unchanged, choosing to wait for confirmation that rapidly receding inflation is firmly under control before cutting rates to support an economy that's struggling to grow. The bank's rate-setting council said today in its first post-decision statement that most measures of underlying inflation are easing. But it added domestic price pressures are strong and are keeping services price inflation high. On the markets, the TSX is down 109 points at 22,089. The Dow is down 89 points to 38,372. Oil is down 86 cents at $85.35 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is at 73 cents US. And that's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. You can find the podcast at SaskAgToday.com and at 620CKRM.com. And that's going to do it for Thursday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.